Amen and amen. I have said that we are living in perilous times. We are living in exceedingly challenging times. I've said I've never seen the United States being clearly taken over by globalist forces and moving toward what the book of Revelation says is going to happen in the last days. But we are not ignorant of these things, and we praise God that God is in control of the times and the seasons. And remember, Jesus said, even though we're preaching on times and seasons here, remember Jesus said it's not for you to know the times and the seasons. I don't know when the 70th week is going to start. I don't know the day and the hour of the rapture of the church. But I do know this, and that's why we're pursuing what we're pursuing. Jesus said, and he said that the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. Acts 1:8, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and in the uttermost parts of the earth. And so our church and this pastor, we're committed to getting the gospel out in our Jerusalem. And I define our Jerusalem as Tunkhannock, where I was the other day, all the way to Moscow, and Carbondale to Wilkes-Barre. And that's our Jerusalem. And we need to march on the gates of hell. And we're aiming by God's grace to do it. And but at the same time, I don't want you to be ignorant. Paul said in the Thessalonian epistles that I don't want you to be ignorant, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, concerning the times and the seasons. And he said, you're not ignorant. He said, these people, so if they were not ignorant, you shouldn't be ignorant. Amen? And because we're closer to the second coming today than we were yesterday. And every day, we're not just walking toward the four horsemen of the apocalypse. We are galloping toward them. And you can see it if you have eyes to see. And so we've been preaching on patiently persevering for your rewards. And tonight, this is the fourth message. And go to Revelation chapter 14, please. Revelation and chapter 14. I'm going to warn you ahead of time, you need your Bible for this message. And it is a teaching message, amen. We teach and preach the Word of God. The Apostle Paul was known for that. And so we're going to look at our theme of patiently persevere for your rewards. Now, we preach on prophecy not just so you can be informed, not just so your ears can be tickled, but so that you can invest your life in what's coming. You can invest your life in the coming kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, because he is coming back. He's going to overthrow and judge this old world. And he's going to bring in his new world order. Amen. His kingdom of heaven. And it's coming to earth. And you should be investing in that, because, listen to me, we are going to heaven if we die before it. But heaven is coming down to earth. Heaven is going to be the new Jerusalem, the city four square is going to surround, and it's not going to come down on the ground, but it'll surround the top of Mount Zion. The temple of God will be on top of Mount Zion, and Jesus will reign from the Holy of Holies in the temple of God in Jerusalem on Mount Zion. I've been there to Mount Zion, and right now where it is, the Temple Mount is it was expanded to include that. Now it is the Temple Mount. Right now that's defiled with all kinds of Islamic junk. But God's going to take that out, and Jesus Christ is going to reign from that Temple Mount. But he'll reign over, first of all, the earthly nation of Israel. And people will live in the kingdom and have babies and have houses in Israel. David will be the prince. Jesus will be the King of Kings, but David will be the Prince of Israel. David is the way his name is pronounced. David, he will be the King of Israel. Mark it down. He's the Prince, and it's mentioned in Ezekiel. And then there's going to be the 12 apostles, and the 12 apostles, each one will reign over the 12 tribes of Israel. Well, you say, wasn't Barnabas an apostle? Yes, an apostle of the church. It's different than the apostle of Jesus Christ. Don't forget that. Apostle just means sent one. Barnabas was sent on a mission. He was a missionary. He was an apostle in that way. But there are only 12 apostles of Christ. Judas apostatized. He wasn't the real deal. There were 12 apostles, and the apostle Paul replaced him. So they're going to be there, and their names are represented in the New Jerusalem, but they're going to reign over Israel with glorified bodies as part of the Church of Jesus Christ, which will include David and Abraham and Isaac and New Testament. We'll all be one church. It's the Church of Christ. But the nation of Israel will be separate, living on earth, having been saved after the rapture, and will go into the kingdom. Do you get that? Along with Gentile nations that were saved after the rapture and will go into the kingdom and didn't take the mark. And these things are coming. We're getting closer. You say, Pastor, will you be here? I don't know. But I'm eating good, so I can be here. I'd rather see the uppertaker than the undertaker. But I'm just saying, you pray for that. You pray I can be here for the rapture. I'd like to be here. But anyway, I love his appearing. Amen. Doesn't the Bible say we should love his appearing? He appeared the first time to pay for our sins. But the second time, the revelation means he's coming back as a lion. He came the first time as a lamb. But he's coming back the second time as the lion of the tribe of Judah. And he's coming back to rule and reign. He came the first time to have his blood shed as a lamb to pay for our sins. He's coming back the second time, get this, to shed the blood of his enemies. And they are many. And they still will be many. And when will be the last shedding of blood before the kingdom? What event will that be? Does one of the men know and help me? You know that one? You want to go? You raise your hand now. You know what it is? I got another one. Are you trying to be a hard-headed horsehead?
The great tribulation?
No. Let's go back here. Do you know? You raise your hand.
The Battle of Armageddon.
The Battle of Armageddon. Amen. You got that? The Battle of Armageddon. And who is that? That's Jesus Christ against the whole world. That's Jesus Christ against the UN. That's Jesus Christ against the George Soros types, the Bill Gates types, these people like Klaus Schwab who want the global reset and the mark of the beast system, and they're pushing it right now. And that whole world with their armies, they're going to try to shoot Jesus Christ out of the sky. Do you know Israel right now has laser weapons? Laser weapons. Amazing. And these, it's going to be like space gun. But they're no match for the Lord. You say the Lord would shed blood? The Bible says at the Battle of Armageddon, the blood will splash up from people's bodies that try to shoot the Lord out of the air as high as the bridles of a horse bit for about 200 miles. This is real. You say, wow. That is the wrath of God. And I'm just saying that even the book of Revelation speaks about the wrath of the Lamb. He's the Lamb of God that shed his blood, but woe be unto anyone that does not kiss the Son by faith, because you're going to perish from the way, the Bible says, Psalm 2, when his wrath is kindled but a little. And so we need to preach the truth and to win as many as we can now while we have the opportunity, and get this, to reap the rewards. You know, we're working for rewards, points, and our team winning, and that's great, but don't forget the higher rewards at the judgment seat of Christ, because he does believe in rewards. That's why we do those things, to remind people that the Lord is going to give the rewards. I'll have to stand before him. You'll have to stand before him. And we'll not be based upon what Brother Eric can do, what Pastor Randy can do. We'll not be based upon what somebody else has for talents. You'll be based upon your own potential. You had time. What did you do with your time? You had talents. What did you do with your talents? You had treasures. What did you do with your treasures? They're just borrowed for a while, and you're going to have to cash in your chips. There's no U-Hauls going out here at your funeral. So you need to invest that. Now, I was talking to somebody about that, and they were giving, and they said, well, preacher, I was thanking them for doing it. And they said, preacher, you taught me a long time ago to take stewardship of my time, my talents, and my Yeah, they tithe their time to the Lord. Basically, they tithe their time to the Lord. Figure out how many hours there are in a week and tithe your time to the Lord. I know Brother Morgan, I wasn't here, but Brother Morgan preached that one time at a missionary conference. I remember hearing about that. Tithe your time to the Lord, just to do the Lord's work. And I was talking to somebody today also, and we were talking about jobs, and I say, sometimes God takes away jobs from us because we're not ready to put him first. We need to tell our employers, Sunday, I'm going to church first. That's my conviction. I'm not going to be working on Sunday. You can set that one aside, and God will give you the right job, and he'll take care of you. I want to do God's work and organize my life around the Lord's priorities. And so persevere for your rewards. And amen and amen. I don't even know where I am here. This is not this isn't the right one. All right, let me see where I am here. Amen and amen. All right, I got to get where I want to go tonight. All right, let's go back to, I'm trying to see my entry point here. I got it right here. There it is. I got it finally. All right, take your Bible and turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 4, 2 Thessalonians and chapter number 4. And what we're going to do there in chapter 4, 2 Thessalonians, is we are going to go over and review and expand what we looked at before. All right, 2 Thessalonians. I'm sorry, I said chapter 4. That's wrong. It's chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2. And as I go there, I want you to hold your finger back in Revelation 14. So get your finger back in Revelation 14 and realize, first of all, where we are at this point in time. This is after the end of the 7 years in chapter 14. After the end of the 7 years. And it is the fifth day after the end of the 7 years. Does anybody know, one of the men, what happened on day one and day two after the end of the 7 years? There are 30 days, listen to this, after the end of the 7 years, called Daniel's 70th week, the final years for Israel's chastening until Israel can be saved. There's 70 times 7 years, and that's the last seven that's still future. Everything else is fulfilled. And at the end of those years, Daniel 12 tells us that there are 30 more days, and we call that 30 days of reclamation. It's the reclamation period. What does that mean? Jesus is going to put his boots on the ground at the end of the 70th week, Revelation 10, and he's going to come and march from Edom, which is modern-day southern Jordan, right up to Jerusalem, and he's going to reclaim the earth. It'll take him till the end of the 30 days. The Battle of Armageddon will be on the 30th day, and he will reclaim the earth after killing off the army of the beast. But what happened on day one and day two? Because here in Revelation 14, verse 1, which goes along with Revelation 11, 15, now follow me, is the fifth day after the 7 years. The fifth day of the 30. But what happens on day one and day two? Can one of the men tell me of that reclamation period? I don't see hands up. Brother Bob's got it. Oh, Matthew's got it. Now you got to be fast here. I'm moving.
The seventh trumpet is blown, declaring the end of the 7 years, and Jesus physically touches down in Basra and gathers the 144,000 and begins a victory procession all the way back to Jerusalem.
Did you hear that? Well done, thou good and faithful student of the Word of God. He comes down in Basra. He walks up on a mountain there, and it flattens. He walks up on Sinai. It flattens. He walks then up the east way and north way of the Jordan River, the East Jordan, and crosses over the Jordan and goes up to Jerusalem on day one and day two. He finished, and on day three, he enters Jerusalem, and It's a victory procession because people have come out of hiding. They've been hiding during the tribulation. They've been hiding even during the wrath of God, except some of them have been coming out and fighting the beast in guerrilla warfare. But now they're coming out and following their captain, following our Messiah, and they're believing in him as they come out, and they recognize this is the one we killed. This is the one we wounded. This is the one we killed when he came the first time. But he is our Messiah, and they're going to follow Yeshua HaMashiach. Ben David. All right, so what happens on day three, according to Hosea chapter 6 and verse 2 of this victorious procession?
Israel is saved and revived.
Yes. All of the nation of Israel, every last one, will be saved. Read Romans 11, 25, and 26. Not right now. And not only that, that's only one third, listen to me, that will survive of Israel the day of the Lord and the great tribulation. Only one third, two thirds will be killed of the Jewish people that are in Israel at this time. And so the Lord on day three will revive them. After 2 days, will he revive us? In the third day, he will raise us up. And we shall live in his sight. I remember that verse. You shared it with me one time in a personal trial. Hosea 6:2. And that's talking about Israel. Amen. That's a prophecy. Rightly dividing the word of truth. And so after that happens, the Lord is making his way to Mount Zion. Because day five, he's got to be on Mount Zion. But there's a day four. What happens on day four? This is bringing us up to speed in Revelation, where we're starting again tonight for our fourth message on Revelation 14. What happens on the fourth day? 3.5 days into this procession. What happens, Brother Matthew?
Is that when Moses and Elijah are raised?
That's correct. The two witnesses, which I believe are Moses and Elijah, are raised from the dead by the Lord. They've been lying there for 3.5 days. The whole world is watching them on television. And they're actually celebrating, giving gifts to one another like it's Christmas, because probably the beast will have disallowed Christmas because he doesn't want any remembrance of Jesus. And the Bible says in Daniel he's going to change the times and seasons. And so the world will be celebrating, watching on TV. Yay! You know what I'd celebrate on TV right now? I remember when Richard Nixon got impeached and some people were celebrating, but I thought, hypocrites, there are a lot of worse people than he, and there are a lot of worse people right now. I will celebrate when I can see on TV all those that stole our country being brought to justice. But anyway, they'll be celebrating when the two witnesses are laying there dead. They're not going to bury them. They're going to glow. Isn't that like Satan? Isn't that like the world? But they won't be able to gloat for long. Let me tell you something. There's pleasure in sin. But God's word will come true in its season. It's only a season. And so you stick with the Lord and you persevere for his rewards. And so he will raise them from the dead, praise the Lord. And what goes on with them? They're ascending right back up into heaven right in front of everybody. By the way, that's not a secret rapture either, amen? And so then he goes on and he goes up to Mount Zion. Bobby's right. He blows that seventh trumpet. An angel blows that seventh trumpet. And that ends the large book or scroll of the wrath of God. That ends the seven trumpet judgments. But now there's a little book, and in the 30 days, starting from day five, or day six, all the way up to day 30, there's going to be the little scroll, and that's like shallow bowls where you wash your hands after you eat your chicken to clean them off, and he's going to throw that wrath out, and it's going to be widespread, the most widespread, and it's going to take place from day six to day 30. Now, day five is going to have no nighttime. It'll be a 24-hour light day like in the days of Joshua. Because after he's on Mount Zion with 144,000 and with the procession waiting for him, where is he going to go and what's he going to do there? What happens next? This is still day five, but the day is extended for 24 hours. Do you know, Matt?
Is it when he goes to Azel?
Correct. He goes up on Mount of Olives. And the great thing is I've been there, so I know exactly what the Kidron Valley looks like. Are you familiar with that, Andy? From Jerusalem, you go up on the Mount of Olives. He's going to walk up on the Mount of Olives, and it's going to split. There's going to be a southern portion of the mountain that will move south. There'll be a northern portion of the mountain that will move north. I can see it right now. And there'll be a big valley that will run from the Mediterranean Sea to the Dead Sea. And water will go right through there, connecting that. And it's going to make the Dead Sea fresh water. Fish will be in there. You can go fishing in the millennium. And I told the Jewish guide there, he was laughing when I was telling him all this stuff. And I was having a good time. I was the Gentile pastoral guide, and he was the Jewish. He was a born-again Jewish guide, and he really liked that. And anyway, that's going to happen on day five, that is extended. And Matthew's right, he's going to hide all those people that Bobby mentioned that will be following him, coming out of hiding. He's going to hide them in Azel, which is a hidden place in the Mount of Olives, and then close it up so nobody can touch them, because during day 6 all the way through day 30, the final wrath of God will be poured out, and it's going to be a dangerous time as the Armageddon campaign takes place, and all the nations of the earth once again are going to march on Jerusalem. By the way, there's 3 times during the 70th week, once in the middle, once later on, just before the day of the Lord, and once at this period of time, right at the end of the 30 days, when all the nations of the world are going to march on Jerusalem. Do you know what? All eyes are going to always be on Jerusalem, because Satan knows that's where the battle is. He wants Jerusalem. He wants Jerusalem because he knows that that is the capital of the Lord's new world order, and he wants to keep it for himself. And Islam is of the devil. And so I'm just telling you the truth. Salvation is of the Jews. Jesus said that in John 4 to the woman at the well. Salvation is of the Jews. The Savior comes of the Jews. And so that's going to happen at that point in time. And that's where we are in Revelation chapter 14. But I wanted to say all that just to say this. Look down with me, Revelation 14. And look down with me now and I'm going to get the place here. And I want to look at the third angel. So follow me, and I want to get the third angel, because at this point in time, after the Lord does that, there are the voices of three angels. So now go to Revelation chapter 14:9. And you'll hear the third angel. Revelation 14 says, "And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture." And then it talks about verse 11, "And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. They have no rest day nor night who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name." Listen, don't take that jab of the beast that will allow you to buy and sell in their new world order, one world government. Don't take it. And don't go along with their lies even now. Stand up. Stand up. I like people that stand up against these things that they're trying to do. I thank God that a judge in Florida repealed the face masks and said they're not mandatory. There's no authority for the Fauci appointed government. He's been in there forever. To mandate that upon airlines and throughout the United States. And thank God that she did that. Now they're trying to challenge that right now. But you pray and thank God for that standing up. But I'm going to ask a question. It is day 5 now. They're on Mount Zion. The 70th week is over. The Great Tribulation is over. The day of the Lord is over. And yet this third angel is warning people not to take the mark of the beast. When is the mark of the beast offered? During what period of time? What's it called? The what? the day of the Lord, the great tribulation, the beginning of sorrows, the millennium. What is that?
The abomination of desolation.
Yes, and what period of time is that when the abomination of desolation comes up? It's called the what? It's called the...
halfway or midway point.
It's the midway point, and it's called the great tribulation. And the great tribulation means the persecution of all of God's people, and even Jews that won't take the mark, and it's the persecution of the church and of Jews that won't take the mark. And the Bible even says that Satan will be very angry, because right in the midway point, right in the midway point in Jerusalem, when the abomination of desolation is put up in the temple, and that's the image of the Gentile world ruler, will be put up in the Holy of Holies in the temple. By the way, that means the temple needs to be rebuilt. Amen? Has it been rebuilt yet? No. Hasn't been. And so it'll be rebuilt. The Jewish people will be offering their sacrifices. If you're around long enough, you'll see it. And they will put that image of the beast up there, right in the halfway point of the 7 years. And what will many Jews do that see that image of the beast, that believe in their Bible? They may not be saved, but they believe in the law of God. They believe in the Torah. They don't believe in idolatry. They don't believe in making graven images. What are these Jews going to do?
They're going to flee and hide.
They're going to flee and hide. And the beast is going to come after them with his armies. And the Bible said many of them are going to get away, and a great flood will come after the beast and swallow him. And there's going to be some kind of an airlift by a great eagle. I wonder what that is, to take God's people and protect them. And they're going to go to the nation of Edom, where Christ will come back. That's why he comes back there. And they're going to go, if you're in Sunday school, remember Esau settled in Petra and in Mount Seir, right? And Esau settled in Edom, and they're going to flee to Edom. Why? Because of these rock fortresses. Why? Because of these high cliffs. They're impregnable, and they have caves, and they're going to hide there. And guess what? The beast is not going to be able to get them. So they're going to send people out with megaphones to try to get them out of there during the Great Tribulation. And they're going to say, hey, your Messiah has come back. He's over here. He's over there. They're going to send Jewish people out. And the Bible said to those people, don't believe them. They're false prophets. And they say, I got a prophecy. Your Messiah. No, don't believe them. Jesus said, you'll know when I come back. It'll make the whole sky light up. I'll come back from the sky. You wait right where you are. You wait for me. And so, that's going to happen right during the great tribulation, that those people won't take the mark. And then Brother Bob knows that Revelation 13, that great persecution by the beast against those Jewish people in Jerusalem that are protected, it's going to spread worldwide. And any city or village in the world where people do not worship the beast, there's going to be an image of the beast all throughout the cities of the world. And that image will be inhabited by devils, and they will speak, and they will identify people that refuse to worship the beast and take his mark. That's how bad it's going to get. That's why Jesus called it the Great Tribulation. And that's mentioned, and that's what we're going through now as you turn to 2 Thessalonians. And so we don't have much time, so take your Bible, please, and go to 2 Thessalonians. And, we put our finger there in Revelation. Now we got to go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and you should be able to find that, 2 Thessalonians and chapter 2, and I want to look at that. And by the way, can I say something tonight? You need to understand the book of Daniel. to understand the revelation. And I believe on our website, ScrantonRevivalBaptist.org, Miss Patty has cataloged that. There are older sermons. I don't know what it's under. We have the whole book of Daniel in there. I think we have the book of Revelation. But anyway, like an overview. But anyway, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 3, and 4. Let's look at that. It says in chapter 2, verse 3, we already looked at 1 and 2, and we looked at this too, but we want to review it. It says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first." One of the men shout out, what day is that? That day shall not come. It's the day of Christ. What day is the day of Christ? Thank you. It is the rapture of the bride of Christ. It says that that day, which is the rapture, shall not come except... You say, how do I know it's the rapture? Look at verse 1 again. "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord, and by our what? Gathering together unto him." That sounds to me like the rapture, okay? Now go back to verse 3. "Let no man deceive you." Notice that. "Let no man deceive you." That day of the rapture cannot come except there come a falling away first. Now, that's called an apostasy. That's a falling away from God. It's a falling away, I give you a hint, from God's covenant. Who is falling away here?
Israel, and making a pact with the Antichrist to perform the Mosaic covenant.
Yes, he's making a pact with the revived Roman Empire, which is the European Union, into the Middle East, possibly under the influence of the Jewish Antichrist, to do that, and to come into and give up their sovereignty, just like the United States. They want us to be taken over by the globalist, and Biden's their puppet. They're doing that right now. They've stolen our elections, just as sure as I'm standing here. You say, what should you do for your elections? You keep complaining about it. I'll just tell you what Donald Trump just said. You say, what should you do, Pastor? Have a holiday once a year, Election Day. Have it at one day. I'm serious as I'm standing here. Simple. And have no mail-in ballots, no hogwash, and none of these computers that they can beam down cheating on have paper ballots. Simple. Easy peasy. And that's exactly what Donald Trump wants. Because he's not a globalist. Whatever faults he may have, he's not a globalist. He's a nationalist, and that's of God. And so anyway, there should be, at that point in time, the Bible says there will come a falling away first, and Israel will enter into a covenant. Isaiah 28, 15 and 18 says it's a covenant with death. It's going to lead them into the great tribulation, because that guy that they signed that covenant with, you better watch out who you enter into a covenant with. Make sure you're not in business with an unsaved person. Make sure you don't get married to an unsaved person. If you don't want to get married to them, don't date them. Make sure you don't enter into wrong covenant. But they're going to do it. They're going to give up their sovereignty even after God has promised them the land and blessed them in so many ways and supernaturally intervened as he did in the Six-Day War and as he will do in the future. That's called a great falling away. God notes that. And then he says that that rapture will not happen. I'm trying to do this with one hand. That rapture will not happen unless not only there come a falling away first, but it says that that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So what is that talking about? There is coming a day, and it will be 3.5 years later, that the image of the beast will be set up in the Holy of Holies. He's a Gentile world ruler, and he comes, the Bible says, from one of the past seven rulers. He comes from the past of one of the seven rulers of the world empires. And we'll talk about that in a minute. Those empires, listen to this, have one thing in common. they have certain rulers, each of the seven empires, and we'll look at this in Revelation later. We don't have time right now. But they will each of them in their history have a time when they try to exterminate Israel. Do you know why these people want to exterminate Israel? Of course, Satan is possessing them. But why does Satan want them to kill off every last Jew? I'm going to let Sarge get one because he's back there, and I'll run to you. All right, Sarge, you tell me.
Because he wants to destroy the seed of God.
He knows if he could kill off every last Jew. Listen to me carefully. He knows the Bible. He knows these prophecies better than you. I have trouble with independent fundamental Baptists that are lazy in their thinking. Satan is not lazy. He knows this Bible. He knows it better than you. What is this? This is the belt of truth. How can you draw the sword of the Spirit out of the holster on the belt of truth if you don't know all of these prophecies and the Word of God? And Satan knows them. And he knows that the kingdom of God, listen to this, which is, by the way, the theme of the entire Bible, the kingdom of God coming to earth, the kingdom of heaven coming to earth, God's rule on the earth through his Messiah King. That's the theme of the Bible. And he's been fighting that ever since the Garden of Eden. And Revelation 12 talks about that warfare, and it will culminate in the book of Revelation. And so he's tried to kill off every Jew. I personally believe, and I don't have time to get into it, but the seventh beast empire, before the final beast empire, there's eight beast empires, by the way. There's eight of them. The eighth one is going to be the one ruled by the beast, the Gentile world ruler, a Jewish Antichrist, Satan, who's going to work with him. It's the Trinity of Evil. Satan, you're going to see a cult come out, cult practices like you've never seen. They're going to rule over this, and guess what? They're going to have 10 kings, and the whole world will be divided up, not into 10 nations, but listen to me, listen carefully, I'm almost done, but listen, it'll be divided up into 10 unions. North American Union, Central American Union, South, all that. It'll be divided up, African Union, Asian Union. It'll be divided up. European Union will be the center of it. It'll be divided up under the beast and his Antichrist. The whole world will be ruled at that time. And you won't be able to buy or sell if you don't worship that guy and take his... And I believe the ruler of the Seventh Empire was Adolf Hitler, the Third Reich. And that is one that in 1870, the Seventh Empire, the Sixth Empire was the Roman Empire. Daniel had four. There's two before Daniel. We'll look at this later on from the Bible, but I'm just telling you now. And then after that comes a seventh, and that seventh empire will be between AD 70 and the destruction of the Roman Empire and the 70th week of Daniel, from which the eighth empire will arise. Who is the ruler of the eighth empire? He is someone, listen to me, that had a wound from a military weapon to the head. He's somebody that died and came back from the dead to rule for a short time. Now, he will be the ruler of the Eighth Empire. Somebody that's come back from the dead. Now, let me tell you about Adolf Hitler, the ruler of the seventh, what I believe is the seventh beast empire. His main goal during World War II was not to beat everybody else. His main goal was to kill Jews. And he had a guy that was an expert, organized killer who couldn't stand to see blood. He would choke up if he saw blood. So he organized it all so it would be done more nicely. His name was Heinrich Himmler. He worked with Hitler. He killed at least 6 million Jews. Amazing number. And the thing that made it so bad is he focused just on Jews, made them wear the Star of David. Horrible. Why did Jesus call this the greatest tribulation ever that's coming? Because I believe Adolf Hitler's going to rule the Eighth Empire. They got a clone of him they're going to do, and he's going to come back. He's Satan's man, I believe, and it won't just be over Europe. It will be worldwide. China, Russia, South America, North America, Asia. He will rule over the whole world with technology. And that is what he's talking about in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that after this covenant, you know, is made between Israel and they apostatize to the revived Roman Empire, there'll arise this ruler of the revived Roman Empire, which will also rule the world, and it'll be Adolf Hitler again. And all of a sudden, the Jewish people, in the middle of it, he's going to unmask himself, and they're going to be looking at that guy. And they're going to freak out and run. And run. Because, you see, Adolf Hitler has name recognition. He has name recognition. And the Bible says all the world is going to recognize who he is. And they're going to wonder after the beast. He's one of those seven. And if you saw any of those seven, the world wouldn't know, the common man. But if you saw Hitler, you'd know. Everybody knows about him. That's why the Bible says in the last days, perilous times will come. But I am simply saying to you that we have to look at this in Daniel. Now, I'm out of time, so we're going to go next week to Daniel 11, 36 through 39, and we're going to tie this in, and I want to start off next week by showing you, listen to me, the trinity of evil that will rule the world. But let me close by saying this. I am believing God and praying to God no more than I'm standing here and I'm saying to you, Joe Biden was not elected with more votes than any president in history. Donald Trump got 14 million votes more than he got the first time in 2016. That is not done without the guy winning, but there was election fraud. And I'm not going to get off this, and people that do get off it, listen, those people need to be brought to justice. They've done the worst crime in the history of America, as far as I'm concerned. I will not stop. And I'm crying out to God for justice. And I'm saying that people in America, they don't want these policies that are being put upon us. They don't want the LGBTQIA, whatever else it is, agenda. But it's being politically correct. It's the thing that we all got to bow down to. And we got to speak, you know, just like what the world wants. Or they're gonna cancel you. And you're, you know, that's what they're going to do in the tribulation. You'll be hated of all nations. But may we speak. The Bible says the righteous is bold as lions. Speak up. Stand up. By God's grace. And I want to say in closing that I personally, and this is not hermeneutics, but 2 Chronicles, you look it up, chapter 20, verse 22, the enemies of God's people were made to turn on each other. There are things happening right now that could explode. And I'm watching them. You know, Donald Trump said, I want to win and win, and we're going to win and win and win. And some of you are saying, we haven't won in a long time. But there are things happening at the state level that there are victories still happening. And all of this evil that because he stood up, it all came out, didn't it? I remember what Charlie Ware said. Now the devil has gone too far. Amen.
Yep.
And I'm believing God and praying to God that he would push back the timeline of the 70th week. Why? not so we can just have a good old time, because that's not what we're here for. Our kingdom is not of this world, but so that we can be a soul-winning church, we can get the gospel out there, we can live peaceable lives to do that and serve God. That's what you ought to pray for and stand up for it, because we still have Michael the archangel, the prince of Israel, restraining the coming of the beast. Pray that God keeps him restraining that. All right, let's bow for prayer, every head bowed. I just want to ask you a simple question before we get